Let us pray for the Lord's blessing on the reading and preaching of His Word. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we pray that now You would send Your Holy Spirit upon us to give us eyes to see and ears to hear of the glorious riches of Your grace that You have bestowed upon us in our Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. If you would turn with me in your Bibles to John chapter 8. John chapter 8 at verse 31. And we're also going to be doing kind of a world tour of the Heidelberg Catechism. So we're going to be looking at question answers 58, 65, 89, and 90. Lots in there. Anyways. Question answers 58, 65, 89, and 90. So I'll start on page 881 in the back of your Trinity Psalter hymnal. 881. But first, looking at God's Word from John chapter 8, beginning at verse 31. John chapter 8 at verse 31. Hear now the Word of our God. Then Jesus said to the Jews who believed Him, "If you abide in My Word, you are My disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." They answered Him, "We are Abraham's descendants, and have never been in bondage to anyone. How can you say, 'You will be made free'?" Jesus answered them, "Most assuredly I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin. And a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. I know that you are Abraham's descendants, but you seek to kill me because My word has no place in you. I speak that I have what I have seen with My Father, and you do what you have seen with your father." They answered and said to Him, "Abraham is our father." Jesus said to them, "If you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. But now you seek to kill Me, a man who has told you the truth, which I heard from God. Abraham did not do this. You do the deeds of your father." Then they said to Him, "We are not born of fornication. We have one Father, God." Jesus said to them, "If God were your Father, you would love Me, for I proceeded forth and came from God. Nor have I come of Myself, but He sent Me. Why do you not understand My speech? Because you are not able to listen to My word. You are of your father the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. But because I tell the truth, you do not believe Me. Which of you convicts Me of sin? And if I tell the truth, why do you not believe Me? He who is of God hears God's words. Therefore, you do not hear, because you are not of God." The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. Question answer 58, found on page 881 of the Heidelberg Catechism, asks, "How does the article concerning life everlasting comfort you?" Answer, "Even as I already now experience in my heart the beginning of eternal joy, so after this life I will have perfect blessedness such as no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no heart has ever imagined, a blessedness in which to praise God eternally. And then turn the page over to question answer 65. Question answer 65 asks, is it by faith alone that we share in Christ and all His benefits? Where does that faith come from? Answer, the Holy Spirit works it in our hearts by the preaching of the Holy Gospel and confirms it by the use of the Holy Sacraments. And then turn over a few pages to question and answer 89 and 90, which is found on page 888. 888. Question and answer 89 asks, what is the dying away of the old self? Answer, to be genuinely sorry for sin and more to hate and run away from it. Question answer 90 asks, what is the rising to life of the new self? Answer, full-hearted joy in God through Christ and a love and delight to live according to the will of God by doing every kind of good work. Brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, this afternoon we come to a passage that is of great help to us in understanding the beautiful realities of the gospel of Jesus that are given to us. Just to remember where we are in the Gospel of John, Jesus has been teaching for an extended period of time in the temple, and He is teaching the people the truth. However, He has not been making many friends, if we may say it that way. The Jewish leaders, they want to kill Him, and they are trying to find a way to do it. Jesus' own brothers, remember, they don't believe Him, and they make fun of Him and ridicule Him too. And the crowd thus far has been divided about Jesus, some thinking He's a prophet, some the Christ, and some mock and ridicule Him. And the sad thing that we have found throughout these chapters 6, 7, and now 8 is that even the Jews that outwardly believe in Jesus, as we see in our passage as well, shows that they don't really believe in Jesus. They are of their father, the devil. They say they believe that Jesus is the Christ, but who they want Jesus to be and who He actually is are two very different things. And as we'll see next time, they utterly reject Jesus, even the ones who say they believe in Him at the beginning of our passage here. The Apostle John in chapters 6, 7, and 8 has been showing us that Jesus was rejected by His own people. For John has been laboring to tell us that the only way we can come to true faith in Jesus Christ is by being born again of the Holy Spirit. We don't have faith in Jesus Christ because we are Jews or born of Abraham or anything like that, or because we were circumcised, right? Simply, we are given faith in the Lord Jesus Christ because we have been born again by the Holy Spirit. And here in our passage, we find ourselves in the middle of a long conversation between Jesus and the Jews in the temple. We saw last time that we can believe the words of Jesus because He is God, He is from heaven, and because the witness of the Father is in Him and on Him. And now we see the benefit of believing the witness of Christ. Read with me there, beginning at verse 31. Verse 31. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed Him, if you abide in My word, you are My disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. First, looking at that phrase, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. If you want to know the truth, you have to know the words of Jesus. What are the words of Jesus? Are they just the red letters in the Bible? No. The words of Jesus are Genesis 1:1 all the way through the end of Revelation 22. They're all words of Jesus. If you want to know the truth, if you want to know Jesus, you have to know the word of truth. You have to know the word of God. So, if we want to know the truth, how important then should God's word be to us? If we want to know how to be saved, if we want to know how to live in communion with God, how important should the word of God be to us? What's the longest chapter in the Bible? Psalm 119. What's Psalm 119 all about? It's all about how the psalmist loves God's word. How he loves all of God's commandments. How he loves all that God says to us. Why? Because it is in understanding and knowing God's word that we get to walk through all of life with our God. The psalmist wants to be nearer, still nearer to his Lord. And that is what we find in God's word. We find the way to be near to our God. And it is through the Lord Jesus Christ and the sacrifice that he paid for us. And where else can we hear and learn and know about that good news? The only place is from the word of God. You're not going to find it in silence. You're not going to find it walking through a forest. You're not going to learn it when you are watching a documentary on World War II or about bears hibernating. You're not going to find it. It's only in the word of God that we find the infallible, the unchanging, the unerring words that reveal to us the way of salvation. The truth of who our God is and what he has done to save us. And next we read, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. These words of Jesus are actually expounded for us later by Jesus in John chapter 14, verse 6, where Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. So this truth that Jesus is talking about here is not just truth in general, though there's certainly application from that as well, but Jesus is saying he is the truth. And he is the truth that will set you free. Now Jesus is not just saying this in a philosophical sense of knowledge is power and truth is freedom kind of thing. Rather, Jesus is talking about if you believe in him, the truth about him and the truth of God's promises, they will set you free from the bondage of sin. The bondage of sin. I hope as we read through this passage, we see that Jesus is the expert surgeon. He is cutting through all that is unclean and going right to the heart of the issue. He's not dealing with all the peripheral problems. He's dealing with the one issue that the Jews there listening to him don't want to deal with. And it is in fact the same problem that the world we live in doesn't want to deal with. We can agree with the world on the effects of the main problem, can't we? We can all agree there's a problem with homelessness. There's a problem with gun violence. There's a problem with all of these things. Go down the list of all the things we see going on in the world that are all wrong. We can agree with almost everyone in the country about those things. They're problems. We see them. They're evident. But you see, the world will only ever deal with the surface level problems. They only deal with the effects of the real problem. And what's the real problem they don't want to talk about? Sin. Sin. The Jews here are trying to avoid that word and trying to avoid that reality like the plague. They don't want to think about the reality that they are just as sinful as the Gentile world around them, and that they need to be saved in just the same way as everyone else. And yet, that's what Jesus is getting at, isn't he? Jesus talks about you're in bondage and you need to be made free. And the Jews, even the ones that outwardly believe in him, are confused. They're confused and they're resistant. Because they see themselves as children of Abraham. They're not descendants of Hagar and Ishmael. They are children, descendants of Isaac and Jacob, of the line of promise. But Jesus is here explaining that they have the same problem as everybody else. A sin problem. We all left to ourselves are slaves of sin. What does that mean exactly? That we're slaves to sin. Jesus is here referring to the fact that not only do we actually do sin, we actually do things that are against God's law, we break it, but we are also inclined towards all evil. Meaning we have a sinful nature. Our hearts are predisposed to always choose the evil. We want the evil. Just like cows eat grass and cats eat meat, we want to sin. We can't stop ourselves. And left to ourselves, we wouldn't want to either. We are attracted to sin more than pigs are to mud. That's what we want. And we have to understand that what Jesus says in verses 42 through 47 apply to us unless we place our faith in Jesus Christ alone. Let's read over those words again. Verse 42, Jesus said to them, "If you were your father, you would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God, nor have I come of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Because you are not able to listen to my word. You are of your father the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. But because I tell the truth, you do not believe me. Which of you convicts me of sin? And if I tell you the truth, why do you not believe me? He who is of God hears God's words. Therefore you do not hear because you are not of God. Jesus is essentially saying to these Jews that outwardly believe him, you are of your father the devil, and the things that he does you want to do. You want to murder. You want to lie. You are blind to the truth, and you will not hear the word of truth because you are deaf to. I can't imagine that would, you know, get a large following after saying something like that. We read later on that the Jews couldn't handle that. No way. But you see, those words, before we were born again of the Holy Spirit, were true of us. But here is the glorious good news of the gospel. That is who we were. That is who we were. And now we are born again by the Holy Spirit and given saving faith to believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ that we would be set free. That we would be set free from our sinful nature, our sinful hearts that want evil things continually. We're set free from that. We're set free from our sin and the curse and the punishment that our sins deserve. And we were set free from the ultimate penalty, death, and given eternal life. And so you see, brothers and sisters, as we think upon these truths that Jesus is revealing to us here, this is why it is so important that we believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Because it is literally life or death. And not just temporary, eternal. We all must place our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ if we are to be saved. And if we want to be sons and dwell in the house forever and not slaves who only dwell in the house for a short time, we need to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. What does Jesus mean when he says that a son dwells in the house forever, but a slave only for a short time? He means that those who are really children of God will dwell with God forever. But those who are only outwardly Christians, those who are only outwardly serving the Lord, their time in the house is temporary. For a time on this earth, and only in a physical sense, they won't remain in the house forever. Jesus is saying this as a warning to the Jews because they thought that they were in the house forever because they were descendants of Abraham and they were circumcised. But Jesus is teaching them here that he, as he's been teaching them the whole time, they must believe in him if they want to be saved. There's only one way of salvation, and it is through faith in Jesus Christ. And if you do not believe in Jesus, it doesn't matter if you're a Jew, circumcised, it doesn't matter if you're a member of a Reformed church, baptized, or add on to the list. It doesn't matter. All of that is meaningless and worthless unless you have faith in Jesus. And all that we read in verses 42 through 47 is true of you unless you believe. This is why, children, it is so important that you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. You will not be saved because of your parents' faith. You will not be saved because you were raised in a Christian home. You will only be saved if you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why that teaching of the age of accountability is such a terrible teaching. I had a friend that grew up most of his childhood years not even giving a thought to believing in the Lord Jesus Christ himself because he thought it was all on his parents anyway. No, the gospel call goes to us all, young and old. Believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ. And the assurance that is ours is that if we believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ, we might be saved. We hope we're saved. No. If we believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ, we will be saved. And our Lord Jesus calls us all now. Whether you're doing it now for the first time or you've done so for your whole life, to come to Him, to trust Him to save you, and He will save you even to the uttermost. And for those of us who have placed our faith in Jesus, we are set free and we are free indeed. Jesus, by His death and resurrection being applied to us by the person of the Holy Spirit, sets us free. We're no longer in bondage to sin. The first and primary thing that means for us is that we're no longer under the curse of sin. We are set free from the punishment that our sin deserves, and we are set free from the debt that we ourselves could never pay. It also means we're no longer left to just continue in sin or to do sin. Our sinful nature has been put to death, and we are given a new nature, one that seeks to do the will of our new Father, our Heavenly Father. This means not only are we able to do the small beginnings of true obedience, but the affections of our hearts have changed and we begin to do the things that God wants us to do. That's why Paul says what he does in Romans 6, verses 1 through 11. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we, who died to sin, live any longer in it? Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus, were baptized into His death? Therefore we were buried with Him through baptism into death, and just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For we have been united together in the likeness of His death. Certainly we also shall be in the likeness of His resurrection, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. For he who has died has been free from sin. Now if we die with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with Him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over Him. For the death that he died to sin once for all, but the life that he lives to God. Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. You see the great contrast that Jesus has there for us. We have already been put to death in the death of Christ. All of our sin, all of our old nature, it's all been killed at the cross. It's all been done away with there. And when Christ rose again, we rose with Him. His resurrection means for us eternal resurrection life. And so now the Apostle Paul is saying, this is the reality that you are in. You're no longer dead in your sins and trespasses. You're no longer slaves to it. You have been set free and you have been made alive. Now live in this new reality. Live according to what Christ has already made you. We have been set free. Now we get to enjoy living our lives as those who have been set free from sin and able to begin to follow our God in righteousness. And how blessed a life that is one lived in following the Lord. That we are actually able and empowered to love God and to love others. Think about just the blessing it is that you can come to church and to love being here because you love being with your God. That doesn't happen naturally. That sense and understanding of rest, of comfort, of peace, that doesn't come from the world. And that doesn't come from you. Those are blessings that you only experience because of what Christ has done for you. And think about even your earthly relationships here. You can't genuinely love anyone else unless you first have been loved of God. Think about how miserable your life would be if you could not actually love anyone else but yourself, and even that in a twisted and demented and sinful way. That would be a terrible life to live. And that should give us a lot of pity for the people of the world. But what a wonderful thing it is for us to enjoy the loving fellowship that we enjoy within the body of Christ and within our Christian homes, to be able to actually love other people and enjoy the love of others. That only comes about because of what Christ has done in our hearts. I hope we grasp that. That we actually have been raised from death to life. That this is what our God has given to us. This is what we get to enjoy now, in part. But this is what we will enjoy in full in the future. And as we think upon these blessed realities that are given to us in Christ, that we can love our God and love each other. Should that not then increase our faith in Him all the more? And our trust in Him? For we see in Him that He truly is the fountain of living waters, the bread of life, and the light of the world that gives life. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we pray that as we consider this passage, that it would help us better understand the glorious gospel that is given to us in our Lord Jesus Christ, to know where we have come from and where we are now, to know that we have come from death and are now given life, that we have come from slavery and bondage to sin to now being your children in your presence forever and ever. Oh Lord, help us to understand these things better day by day. And help us to grow in thankfulness and praise for these good gifts. And oh Lord, as we reflect upon the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the beautiful sacrifice that He performed for us on that cross, we pray, O Lord, that we would seek to live more and more in the truth and realities that are given to us by Christ. That we would live according to what He has remade us to be. And that we would not live according to the old self. Oh Lord, help us in the daily struggles and battles we have with that old nature. And we pray, oh Lord, that you would help us to walk in the paths of righteousness that you lead us in. We pray this all in Jesus' precious name. Amen.